we needed there was we needed the scriptures to be like fading out, right? Like Star Wars just fading into this. Yeah, a little perspective on this one, right? Haggai. Haggai's a minor prophet, but that doesn't mean what he has to say anyway. Minor just means that he didn't write as much as all the major prophets, okay? Haggai means festival, or it means festive or feast. I kind of like Haggai, because Haggai was kind of the least scary of all the Old Testament prophets. He was kind of a man who had a heart of love and kind of a compassionate heart towards those that he spoke to. He was not condemning. He was trying to help the people truly find God and find God's blessings for them, to lead them in the ways of the Lord. The prophet Haggai was probably most likely born in exile in Babylon, where the Jewish people were held for over a 70-year period of time before a group was allowed to go back to Jerusalem to build the temple, right? And so under the governor of Judah, Zerubbabel, a descendant of King David, 50,000 Jewish people came out of Babylon back into Jerusalem, into Judah. And when they got there, you could imagine, they saw the temple was not in a good way. The Haggai dated everything that he wrote, which is a joy to all the historians and all those that want to seek archaeological, historical evidence of that happening. We know that this was written about 520 BC, before Christ. Now, Haggai brought a few messages to those people that were returning, those Jewish exiles, and those messages pretty relevant for us today. Messages about priorities, messages about courage and faithfulness, messages about God's promises and God's blessing in our lives. The messages brought by Haggai and our passage is about our faithfulness to God. How God wants to bless his people. How God will lead us into holiness if we let him. Now think about that for a second. That's actually your next slide. God leads us to holiness. You aren't holy on your own. You can't earn holiness on your own. You won't discover it in a textbook. God calls us out to be holy. God separates us out to be his children. He does the leading, we have to follow. He does the leading, we have to obey. He does the leading, we have to listen. He does the leading, we have to honor him. Not just listen to what he says, do what it says. It's all about putting God first in our lives and letting God lead rather than us trying to lead God. Anybody ever tried to lead God down your path of enlightenment? Has anybody ever tried to lead God down your path of enlightenment? Let me share with you, Lord, in case you didn't know, I'm struggling here. Well, let me share with you, Lord, in case you didn't know, you know, I'm kind of falling away. I'm kind of in trouble. I kind of need some help here. Lord, in case you didn't know, would you bless my plans to be rich? I have great plans that I have things I want to do for you. Have you ever tried to lead the Lord down your path of enlightenment? Can you bless me, Lord, because I want to move away from here? Can you bless all these great ideas that I have? We need to yield ourselves to his ways, his plans, and his timing. Then we're talking about walking with the Lord. Does anybody in here want to walk with the Lord? Anybody in here want to walk with the Lord? Give me an amen. So here's your next slide. See, it's not us walking in our ways with God. It's us walking with God in His ways. That will make all the difference in the world when you grab hold of that and you get it. Now, you can go your own way, but you will be lost. You will be drifting. Anybody ever feel that sometimes life is just a little bit too busy for them? Too much going and going on all the time, always going, always on the move, pressures, demands, expectations, tasks to put you in from all sides, obligations, assaults on your schedule, do this, be there, finish this, call them, stressed out all the time. Don't forget about the kids' practice. Hey, the boss has got burdens and he's got deadlines. Hey, don't forget about the spouse's desires. They have needs too, you know. It can seem pretty overwhelming sometimes that somebody all the time wants something from you. Hey, there's a church committee you should probably be on. Hey, and the pastor wants to come and visit. Friends and family, employers and schools, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Soon that there's just little time left. You run out of energy. You run out of time. We find ourselves just trying to keep pace, rushing through life, attending to what's immediate, or even crisis management, or the urgent. Oftentimes, what's important gets left in the dust. The problem is not our volume of demands, or even our lack of scheduling skills. The problem's our values. The problems are priorities. What is truly important to us? What is deeply important? What is a heart matter? Here's your next slide. Values and priorities reflect what matters to us. Reflect what matters to you. Our values and our priorities are reflected in how we use our resources of time. You spend a lot of time doing stuff. That's important to you. A lot of time on your cell phone. A lot of time surfing. That's important to you. That's a priority and a value that you place in your life to do that. You have value and priorities that are placed on your talents. What talents did you have? What talents had God given you? You spend a lot of time perhaps on your talents and your abilities. And so far you think talents on your games are pretty good. I can remember the time when we used to say to the kids, you know, what's with all the gaming and all that stuff? You know, now they're flying drones. A lot of talent and skill sometimes that we don't perceive and see that's going to happen in the future. Our values and our priorities reflect in the things that matter to us, like our finances and our treasures. Where you give your money matters to you. You pay for your cell phone. Why? Because I like my cell phone. You pay the cable company to watch TV. Why? Because I like to watch TV. Your values and your priorities reflect what matters to you. God has absolutely resourced us with enough. No question about it. But how are we spending our resources? How are we using our time, our talent, and our treasures? How are we doing that? What are we doing with all that God has given to us? Over 25 centuries ago, the voice of Haggai was calling out to men and women to write priorities. Haggai knew what was important and what had to be done, and he challenged God's people to respond. See, while the Jews were still in captive back in Babylon, the armies had destroyed that temple in Jerusalem. But now that new king said, hey, why don't all you Jews go back to Jerusalem and build that temple. Hallelujah! We're going to go build the temple. And so they migrated. They went to rebuild. They went to reclaim. They went to reestablish that temple. And then once again, not too long, somewhere along the way, they forgot what was important. They lost what was valuable. They misplaced their priorities. Their efforts turned selfish. Their efforts turned inward. They lived in beautiful homes while the temple still lied in ruins. Haggai called them out on it. Is it time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while the Lord's house remains in ruin? Here's a great quote by Haggai. Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. And this was the catalyst that would bring the challenge and that would correct the priorities in their lives. So listen up, New Life Alliance. Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your priorities. Give careful thought to who you speak to as a stranger. They may be an angel. Give careful thought to the environment upon which you create in your own household. Give careful thought to how you raise your kids. Give careful thought to how you speak to the ones that you say you love. Give careful thought to how you spend your money. Give careful thought to how you spend your time. Give careful thought to the church family where you want to spend your time and your money. Give careful thought to the God you honor and to the God you glorify. Give careful thought to your ways. The book of Haggai is a small book, but it is filled with challenges and it is filled with promises. It reminds us of our own priorities. It reminds us of God's claim on our lives. And that's the question that you're going to have to answer. Does God have a claim on your life? Does God have a say-so in your life? What can God speak to you about, and what can't he speak to you about? Haggai's urging the people of God to get right, to establish your priorities. See, it is not you that live anymore, but Christ within you. I join with Haggai, urging you to consider your priorities, urging you to do God's will, to structure your lives not around the crisis of the urgent, but around the Lord and his priorities. There's a call from God to rebuild the temple. And ready? Work to complete the process. Work to complete the process. Urging the people of God. Is there any people of God in here? Give me an amen. Any people of God in here? Am I the only one? I can't be the only one. Here's your next slide. Remember the past? He calls them on remembering the past. Who of you is left who even saw the house in its former glory? So all these 50,000 people coming out of Babylon, going back, and he's going, hey, who among you even remembers what it was like? And does it seem like nothing to you now? Anybody remember the past? Anybody even have one of those phones? Sometimes we remember and we want to forget. Sometimes it seems like the past might be a little bit better than the future, right? Certainly more youthful. I look at this body and I go, man, it's seen better days. The older I get, the better I was. And certainly as they remembered that former temple, it seemed like there were better times for that place, a better state of being. Well, we can think on our past and draw similar conclusions. They don't make cars like they used to. So what I have done is I created some a couple slides for some old advertisements for you. Like this phone. Who had the phone on? Who had the phone? Oh, that's all right. Where are you going? Who had the phone on the wall? Anybody had the phone on the wall? Yeah. If you were really blessed, you had a really long cord, right? Right? And you could like duck around the corner, right? But then you always had to hold the phone up and it had to unwind. Remember having to do all that? Yeah. Kids today, they don't have a clue about any of that stuff. Here's another one. This was a nice advertisement. The chef does everything but cook, because that's what wives are for. That's a good one, right? I like that. Things have certainly changed, because Melinda just found out what a stove was last year. There's no cooking going on in our house. Boom, boom. All right, the next one. Hey, me the next one. Get me out of trouble. Get me out of the next one. Hey, cocaine for the toothache. Advertisement. Cocaine got toothache drops. Take all the cocaine you want, right? Like Novocaine. They were using cocaine. Numb up the tooth. Here's another one. Coca-Cola for the baby. For a better start to life, start Coca-Cola early. Get those babies filled up with some Coca-Cola. That's good. If Coca-Cola is not good, then there's the next one. Oh, did you lose it? Oh, then there's the next one. Ready? You know what the next one was? Any guesses? Beer. This is how mother and baby get picked up. So if you're feeling a little blue, have some Blatt's beer. And if your baby seems to be crying, give the baby some beer. This is good. These are advertisements. This is good. All right. Here's your next one. More doctors smoke Camels than any other brand of cigarettes. Anybody watch old movies from time to time? You know, old black and white movies? You know, old black and white movies? Sure enough, somebody ends up in the hospital, right? And they go into the hospital, and guess what they're doing in the hospital? Right? I see this. You see this on the movies. Like, it was nothing in the 50s. They just walk into the hospital, and right? They're just smoking. And you could watch it and go, okay, more doctors do smoke Camels, I guess. All right. Anybody remember gas prices that were that low? You do? I remember 99 cents. How old are you? You remember a quarter, okay? It's a quarter. Yep, okay. I think those days are long gone. What do you think? All right, and then if you ever start to complain about gas prices, just remember, you could be riding a horse and buggy. Ain't that right? So just picture that in your head. Next time you're complaining about filling up your car and driving to Miami in an hour when it would probably take you 2 days on a horse and a buggy. This is what's amazing through all of that. Through all of remembering the past, and don't you remember what it was like, and does it seem like nothing to you before? Through it all, God's been with you. Through it all, God's been with you. Through the good times and through the bad, God's been with you. Through the economic rises and pitfalls, through all the presidential changes and all the wars, through times that where you were exiled and felt like the world was going to end, sometimes when you were far away from God, through it all, God was with you. When you had plenty and when your cupboards were bare, God was with you. Is there a point to him even saving you? Is there a point to him even rescuing you? Is there some point to why he's taking care of you and being with you? He preserved a remnant of your life to be here, this moment, this place, this time, amongst these people. When the people of Judah finally got back to their homeland, having made it through that tremendous struggle and even struggled through exile, was their first thought to thank God and rejoice and give thanks? Or was it self-centered? Was it selfish ambition that took the lead? We can easily fall into these steps as well. We can be grateful to God in our words, but our actions tell another story. People know how to praise the Lord with their tongue, but not with their wallet. They know how to praise the Lord with their dancing, but not come Monday morning when they're cursing out the person that just road raged them. Give careful thought to your ways. The temple was being rebuilt, certainly did not have all the beauty that it had earlier when Solomon would build the great temple. And many remember that temple. But Haggai would remind them, the glory of this temple that we're building would be more beautiful than the other. Can you tell me why? Can you tell me why? Why are they building a temple? Honor God. God would dwell there. Why would this temple be any more elegant and more beautiful than the other? Jesus himself would walk through those temple walls. He would teach on those temple steps. And we know from Scripture that God tells us, are we not the temple of God? Are we not the temple of God? Some are laced with gold and silver. Some are much simpler and much plain. Some are fashioned with fat thighs. Some are as skinny as rails. Some are tan. Some are black. Some are white. Some are Haitian. Some speak multiple languages. Aren't you the temple of God? Why is the temple so important? It's where God dwells. It's where God dwells. For the New Testament believer, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. I asked you that this morning. Is the Holy Spirit of God within you? You're a temple of God. The Holy Spirit of God within you? You're a temple of God. Jesus would walk through that temple that they're rebuilding and reestablishing, and Jesus would walk through this temple as well. There are reasons to take care of the temple. There are reasons to tend to the church building that's around us here. God moves here, does amazing things here amongst our fellowship. There are reasons to take care of ourselves. There's weddings and funerals and baptisms and fellowship. There's a lot of glory that goes on within these walls. There's a lot of glory going on within these walls. You and this church are part of God's plan. You and this church are part of God's plan. You want to be part of the plan? You want to be part of what God's going on? Listen. But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, period. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. So you're going to have some strength for the present. That's your next slide, some strength for the present. Be strong is what Haggai proclaimed to the people, and work. Work, work. Nobody wants to work. They do work. They just want God to come and do his thing. I don't want to have to do anything. It's not me who lives anymore anyway. It's God living in me. We have to work at what God has called us to do. What I found was kind of interesting as I'm reading through this in this passage, that Haggai, that this particular time is happening at the Feast of the Tabernacles. And at the Feast of the Tabernacles, they would read out of Deuteronomy. And they would have heard three times Moses tell Joshua and to the people, be strong, be strong, be strong. Three times the Lord would tell Joshua, be strong, be strong, be strong. Moses tells Joshua, be strong, be strong, be strong. God tells Joshua, be strong, be strong, be strong. King David charged Solomon with building that glorious building to be strong, be strong, be strong. See, be strong wasn't just kind of an empty phrase. It was an important part of the Jewish history. It was part of their Jewish heritage. When they told somebody, be strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord, it meant something to them, to the very core, to their very soul, that they would walk in the ways of God. They would not walk in their own ways. They would be strong enough to walk in the ways of God. See, it's one thing to tell people, hey, be strong and go to work. It's another to tell them why to be strong and go to work. Haggai gave them the why. Because the Lord is with you. Because the Lord is with you. He was there then in the past. He's here now with you, and he's going to be with you in the future. Be strong, be strong, be strong. This is the heart of their motivation. It's the heart of their courage. God is with them. It gets no truer than that. It gets no better than that. God is with them. God is with you. Period. Do not fear. God is with you. Be strong, God is with you. Take courage, God is with you. Stand firm, God is with you. Keep on praying, God is with you. Keep on praising, God is with you. Keep giving of yourself, God is with you. God is with you in the present and in the past. Anybody got a testimony about God being with them in the past? Anybody? You said you were people of God. Anybody, you got a testimony about, yes, God, I seen God at work in my life. I was there when he did it. I saw it. He'd done that in the past. Do you think he's absent now? Be strong. Be strong. Strong. God is present here even today. If you could see him then, do you see him now? And do you know what you're looking for, and can you recognize? Listen, this temple that they were reestablishing and rebuilding in no way even came close to the splendor of that first one, particularly by man's standards. This temple that they're going to build with hand-me-downs is built by a remnant coming out of exile with basically nothing. And he challenges them on it. Is it right for you to be honoring yourselves and building your own houses and living in all this splendor and the house of the Lord lies in ruins? What are your priorities? Is it all about you? Or are we here to honor God? Is your life here to honor God? Do we want to build up this temple so that God may dwell there? They worked at it, given their time and given their talent. It was upside down by the world standards. There's no stained glass in cathedral ceilings. There's no solid marble images anywhere. There's no altars made of marble. There's no polished rare woods anywhere. There's no gold pieces shining brightly. Yet nothing was more beautiful to the eyes of God than those building a monument. Those building a place to host his presence. You are a beautiful monument to host his presence. And you show forth the truest character of God, the rarest of attributes of Jesus. The glory of God shines brightly. The temple of the Most High God, that's you. Temple of the Most High God, that's you. Temple of the Most High God, shining forth the power and the glory of God. God makes us holy. We are not made holy by our rituals. We are not made holy by our chants or even the clothes that we might wear. And Haggai is speaking to the people, and he's speaking to the priests, and he's telling them, give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to the foundation of your lives. What you do every single day speaks to your priorities and to your values and what's important to you. And it's the same for us. We need to take care that we do not pollute ourselves with mixed priorities or even send mixed messages about our own faith and what's important to us. We have to be steadfast and firm in our convictions and walk with God. God has always been there with us. God always will be there for us. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once again shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, declares the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Mighty. Here's your next slide, the expectations of the future. With prophetic insight, Haggai's looking ahead to the time when the Son of God would minister on that temple. He would walk within those walls, he would preach on those steps, and he would bring glory to God on that very structure. Very humble. Nothing magnificent about it. God's going to do amazing things through you. You're pretty unique, but like everybody else. God is speaking to the present judgment on evil and also to the future judgment during the last days. We all know this. I certainly hope we believe it, that there's a future coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When the earth as we know it fades away, Christ descends and establishes a new heaven and a new earth. God's plan is coming together. God's plan is coming together. God's plan has always been evolving. You are part of that plan. You are part of that plan. You are blessed indeed. There is hope beyond this physical realm. There is life beyond this carnal dimension that we find ourselves in. God wanted his temple to be rebuilt. He rebuilt it. God wanted you to be reborn, be born again, be rebuilt, be reestablished. And if necessary, every once in a while, a preacher's going to challenge you on your values, on your priorities, making sure that what is really important in your life is something you give very careful thought about. God wants us to be remade and reborn and reestablished that he may dwell here in fullness. What can't God speak to you about if there's something you're not all his? God can do great and mighty things, but he is looking for some hands that are going to work with him. There's that work word. For whatever reason, God has chosen to do his work through his temple, through his people, through his church. For whatever reason, God has chosen you, Holy Spirit-filled believer, temple of God. God wants to do his work through you. Prayer is a primary work of God's people. We can all start there. And this task of advancing the gospel has been regulated to you and to me. So what's your priority? What are you working at? What do you value? What takes all your time and all your energy? Come in here. All you who fear God, let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. And if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened, and he has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you so very much for the way in which you minister into our lives, how you care for us, how you watch over us. And Father, may we learn about our own values and our own priorities. And Father, guide us and lead us. We don't want to go our own way. We want to go your way. And Father, we want to be certain of the next step. We want to be certain that we're following you. So Father, I pray, boldness, clarity for us, that we would know that we honor you. This place where you dwell within our hearts and the depths of our souls, this temple, reborn and reestablished, guide and lead us that we might walk in your ways. We're so grateful for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. And even so, in this moment, we prepare our hearts for communion. We remember your son Jesus, how he died upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might be made right with you, washing this temple clean, that God may dwell among us. We praise you and we thank you in the name of your son. Amen. The elders would come forward, please. Thank you. I always enjoy sharing communion with our church family. The story is fairly familiar. He was with his disciples. He took bread, he broke it. He gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, "Take this and eat this, for this is my body, which is broken for you." Gentlemen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, thee whose blood can cleanse each spot.
We're so grateful, Father, for the body of Christ, a ransom for us. The chastisement and the punishment that should have been ours was upon him. He took our sins away. Let us partake together in remembrance. In a similar manner, he took the cup. He gave it to them, saying, "Take this and drink this. This is a cup of my blood, spilled out for you and for all mankind for the forgiveness of your sin, signifying and sealing an everlasting covenant between God and man." Gentlemen. Again, thank you. Thank you for the blood of Christ. Wash us clean. Make this temple pure. We gather before you as one body, your body. Make us whole in the name of your Son.
Just as I am. just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
The blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us partake together. Father, in this place, wash us clean. Wash us clean. Would you stand with me, please? First verse. Thank you, Miss Jody. Sing with me.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me
minister to our hearts, to the very depths of our souls. May we recognize that indeed we are cleansed, we are made whole, and we are holy because of you. With gratitude on our hearts, thankfulness on our lips, we praise you, we praise your Son. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might walk in your ways. Amen. You may be seated in his presence.